This morning, it is Pentecost, and it's one of my favorite passages. There's so many things of awe and wonder that God does in this passage. And so it's the classic passage that's read for this day. It's Acts 2, when the Holy Spirit comes and descends on the upper room. Acts 2, verses 1 through 21. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now, there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all of these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our own native language? Perinthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They've had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all the people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord God, I thank you today for this moment of being able to remember that your Holy Spirit has come to this earth and is staying with us. Lord, may your Spirit speak through me and in spite of me today, so that we may hear your voice, so that we may live into this calling that we all have to be transformed by the Holy Spirit, by the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ. We pray this in his name. Amen. So this is the day that we remember that this is the birthday of the church. And it's a good day to remember that. If you got the paper that I handed out that's at the entrances or the exits as you leave, if you didn't get one, it talks about, "I will pour out my spirit." And that Pentecost comes to us from a Greek word meaning 50th. Pentecost was a harvest festival in which the Jews all remembered the giving of the law on the Mount of Sinai. Now that's pretty important if you think about it, because not only is it 50 days from the Passover, but it's that time that we give back to God. We give back to God. I'll come back to that in a moment about giving back to God, but I want to tell you a little bit more about what we are thinking about today in transformation. You see, this is a day that it's a great opportunity to think about your superpowers that God has given you. And you might say to yourself, superpowers? I'm just a normal, everyday person. I don't have any superpowers. Well, I beg to differ with you. You see, if you are a person who believes in Jesus Christ, from that moment on, you have been transformed. Transformed in a way that will glorify God. I want you to think about this resurrection story in Acts 2. This isn't a story of Christ's resurrection. It's a story of the resurrection of the disciples' courage and the genesis of a new Christian movement. Not only is this a story that commemorates the beginning of the Christian movement, it's a vivid display of how God has continued to be at work in the church after Jesus' ascension. It's a confirmation of Jesus' promise in the Gospel of John when he told them that he would leave them under the Advocate to help us and to be with us forever. This Advocate didn't just meditate and bridge a connection between God and the disciples. No, no. In this story, we see the Holy Spirit aiding the disciples in bridging connections with even more people than they had ever even imagined. It's transforming, and it's a movement in itself. This story might be the first real hint of how Christianity became something more than just what the Jews believed in Jesus, the Messiah. Instead, the movement went beyond Judaism by connecting directly with the Gentiles. Think about that. God didn't come for just the people who were Hebrew. He came for all of us. This is a story that reminds us of the limitlessness of God's desire to love and be with all of creation. And God is still with us today, but there are other promises. You see, Peter confessed Jesus as the Christ. In fact, in Romans, Matthew 16, we know that Peter needed to confess Jesus as the Christ. But we also know that we as the church need to confess Jesus as Christ. In fact, in Matthew 16, he says, "Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, 'Who do you say that the Son of Man is?' And they said, 'Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets.' Jesus said to them, 'But who do you say that I am?' And Simon Peter replied, 'You are the Christ, the Son of the living God.' And Jesus answered him, 'Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven.'" You see, the church was built on Peter, and it was fitting that Peter gave, the first sermon after the Holy Spirit had descended on them. And that's fitting today that we hear these words from Peter once again. But it wasn't the end. In fact, they started going to all of the Roman Empire. All over the world, we know that the disciples had gone, at least the known world at that time. Paul eventually becomes a disciple and an apostle as well. He quits persecuting the Christians. And he writes in a letter to the Romans in Romans 12 that we are to be a living sacrifice. In fact, it says in Romans 12:1, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than you ought to think, but to think with more sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and in members who do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are all one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, and the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Love in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Think about that. Think about you and who you are. If you profess that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, you have been gifted one of these gifts of the Holy Spirit, one that you are supposed to be using as the body of Christ, that you're supposed to be able to take out into the world. And churches, just like this one today, just like all the others in town, are celebrating today, Pentecost. You see, they become communities of faith, and it doesn't just mean Stone United Methodist Church, doesn't mean just Bethany United Methodist Church, doesn't mean First Presbyterian or the Episcopal or any of the others. It means all of us, that we're all supposed to gather together, that we're all supposed to give back, because we love the Lord. And we're supposed to use the Spirit the gift that the Spirit has given you. Now, you might be asking yourself, what is it that I'm supposed to give? Well, I want to ask you this. Is there something that you find that you're particularly good at? Is there something that you find that you are able to do more easily than maybe some other people? I'm going to talk about my mom a little bit. My mom and I were very different people. Not only was she nice and tall and skinny, but she was one of those people who was very comfortable behind the scenes. And her gift was serving. She would find ways to serve in many different ways. In the church that she served in for about 40 years, there are little touches of her all over the place that people don't necessarily know about, but it was her nonetheless that did them. From the bright and colorful banners that she would have at the church, that she would use as a visual long before there were ever screens like we have today. She was very good at doing those behind-the-scenes things. When Christmas would come and Advent, she would put her little touches on things. She could do bows with ease. She could bake a couple batches of cookies with ease. And eventually at her church, she decided that there was a time after the worship service and before Sunday school that we needed to be able to take the time to greet people. Well, she used her gift and she started baking more cookies. And she didn't drink coffee, but she could make a mean pot of coffee. So every Sunday she started making coffee as well. And she'd have water, and people could gather outside of the sanctuary and visit with each other. You know, that's a sign of a healthy church when people don't run out of the church like it's a fire drill. And so she knew that. And as people started sharing coffee and started sharing their cookies, they started hanging around and they wanted more. So they had Sunday school classes that propped up. Now I want you to realize that the Sunday school classes for children and almost the adults had almost become extinct in their church. And yet these little touches brought back a movement of the Holy Spirit in that church. Now, what would it look like if we started caring about each other and started visiting with each other just for a little bit of extra time every Sunday morning? I bet your bonds grow more deeply. And I bet you the bonds with the Lord grow more deeply too. And you know what happens? The Holy Spirit's contagious. Oh yes. You catch the Spirit. The next person you talk to catches the Spirit. And it spreads like the wildfire that it is. What would it look like if we wanted that fire within ourselves? That we fan the flames, that perhaps we even pass it on. That's a wonderful thing that we're all called to. I watched a beautiful thing this week where so many of you who have experienced loss of your own came and loved the community by sharing the love of Jesus Christ, offering a warm face, a warm handshake, a hug, a tissue, serving, making sure the food was in plenty, the drinks were cold or the coffee was hot, and that everybody had a place here. You know, as I've been going through the things that Anne has shared with me from the archives, and as I have reread a couple times now the book that Dr. Dixon has written about Stone and about this community, I know that there's a reason why at one time the phrase was the Stone Church with the warm heart. Well, guess what? The heart's just as warm as it ever has been. Whether it been 50 years ago or today. The heart of the Lord is still just as warm too. And he's breathing into us the holy flames of the Holy Spirit. Breathe in. Breathe out. Breathe them in again. And breathe out. And know that maybe you don't have a good superpower pose yet. You can work on that. But you do have the tongues of fire in your heart. You are a living, breathing temple for our Lord. Go out today and use that superpower for God's glory. Let us pray. Lord, you have transformed each of us today. And I pray, Lord God, as we think about what our superpower might be or how we could use the superpower that you've given us so that we may glorify you better, I pray to fan the flames a little bit more. This community, Lord, they need you. We need you. So, Lord, touch us today. Help us remember this celebratory attitude of the birthday of the church. And may we celebrate with everyone who finds you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.